Arrgh! We do love pirates here at Fancy Pants Studios. What with their peg legs and hooky hands. Mostly, though, we love Danny Pirate. And shiver me timbers, you should too. DannyPirateStudios.com is the place to go when looking for high-quality minis. With the code FANTASYPANTS, you can get 15% off. Fantasy Pants for 15% off. Now that's a steal. And we pirates do love to steal. So set sail on the World Wide Web and visit DannyPirateStudios.com today. Arrgh. Why are we a duck?
Every time it starts, I forget. I was like, oh yeah, we do this.
Me and Jeremy, we're waiting for it. We're ready for
it.
Oh yeah.
I never go into it with a plan.
Every single time.
I just,
I'm pretty sure David and I sing the same exact thing every single time.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I should probably just stop contributing because it...
I've been saying that for literally years. Oof.
Ooh,
yeah, baby.
Wow.
Gentlemen.
Wow.
I didn't put music on. Hang on.
We have no music, David.
Hang on.
Where is the music? Ooh. Ooh, I like it. I like it. Good job.
What the hell was that? Oh, you did that. I thought I did that. That's not the one.
That is not the Tavern Unzipped music.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, my goodness. Nope. Still not it.
No, it's here it is. Which is actually the first music that played in our podcast, by the way.
Really?
Yes, the first song that played was this, backing
the
Storyteller Orin sort of intro segment where I did a lot of exposition all at once, and everyone loved that shit. It was the best thing.
Yeah, it was not a huge hurdle for listeners at all.
Not remotely.
Not like a 90-something percent drop-off.
So it's actually pretty exciting. We're going to start a...
just fucking with you.
I just missed that. So... On the road of music, we're actually have a lot of new music coming into the show pretty soon here. We're trying out this this Fantasy Plus app. It seems super cool. Steven, you know more details about me about Fantasy Plus. Tell me Fantasy Plus.
Yeah, so Fantasy Plus, actually, by the time this is out, their Kickstarter is going to be live.
That's right. It's
dropping on August 20th. So Fantasy Plus is, a great music app for...
games.
For your games. All the background music you want, sound effects, the whole nine. So we're really excited to try them out. Go back to Kickstarter, Fantasy Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I have used the interface a couple times now. It's smooth as hell. Super nice. Great music. Spoiler, you're going to hear some of their music in their next episode. We're going to do a flashback. We're not going to do old Reliable the Flashback song. We're getting some new shit up in here.
New Reliable Flashback.
New Reliable. The new old Reliable. it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff.
We're very excited for Fantasy Plus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. Also very excited for this Unzipped. We've just wrapped up our fourth major sort of storyline here. The Zinda serial killer, the murder mystery arc. And so to open this thing up, a little icebreaker question. How would you do it? How would you get away with murder?
Hmm.
What's your master plan? You gotta kill someone right now. What are you gonna do? How are you gonna do it?
What?
So I have two conflicting thoughts. My first thought.
The serial killer is on it.
See, I knew he was gonna do this.
Yeah.
My first thought is. You can't possibly pull that shit off alone, right? But then my second thought is, loose lips sink ships, baby.
Well, yeah,
who can you rely on?
Okay,
If you gotta kill somebody, you gotta do it with family.
Now, why do you gotta do it? Why do you need to have somebody else to do it? To help build, dig the grave and all that?
I'm very uncomfortable.
You can dig the grave and then kill the other guy, your buddy.
Do you feel confident enough to kill a human being on your own and get away with it?
I have before.
Nope.
Okay, well.
Nope.
Jeremy's like, I'm cutting all this.
Restart.
What's your plan, Jeremy?
To restart.
You're a poisoner, or you're more intimate than that? You're a knife guy.
I can't even answer this question.
This is so good. Poor Jeremy.
I cannot answer this question.
He's flabbergasted.
Next question, David.
Very well. A knife guy. Very well.
Well, I'm gonna crack a fucking beer.
Oh yeah, excellent.
If it's gonna be this kind of
here. I got the
this kind of episode.
I got the bottle opener, baby.
From Hooly Forge.
From Hooly Forge.
And Stevens, I have not told you what I'm opening yet.
I would like to see it.
It's a maple barrel aged.
Two of my favorite words.
Belgian. Dark strong.
Oh my goodness.
That was.
You hit like that, all of the good points, like all of the buzzwords for Steven. Maple, barrel, Belgian.
That was.
Yeah, baby.
That was bottled.
Oh.
In 2018.
Are you sure? Oh my goodness.
Uh huh.
This is.
Uh huh.
This is special.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to open this?
And
with little old me?
I guarantee you it's two of our wonderful friends bottled this.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep.
Damn. Shout out. Whisper out.
Who are we shouting out?
Your parents. Kidding.
Somebody want to make sure Danny is not anywhere near this, just in case.
I've got the Danny.
Danny, your thoughts?
Look at that.
It did drip.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. It smells better than whatever's already down there.
You're not wrong.
Danny, would you care to explain yourself?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Get back here, Danny.
Oh.
Holy shit.
Wow. That maple hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of maple. Like, even like a new beer that's made with maple, like, you know, there's a hint of maple. This just, I mean, like, what was this, half maple syrup? This is a very strong maple flavor, especially for being as old as it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's wild. I can't believe the bottle didn't explode.
Whoa.
I mean, right?
All right, I'm going to go grab a quick towel real fast. I'm going to pause this, and I'm going to clean this up.
So do our friends want to be, like, anonymous?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you to Evan and Emily, then.
Love you guys.
Ooh, Evan and Emily from the aforementioned Frostmaiden campaign and the GURPS campaign that gave birth to the original Jean-Frank Le Montelio.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heir to House Montelio, future lord of the Nine Fields. No, the Nine Plains and bear the banner of the Golden Field. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's different. It's different.
We probably have them to thank for this show at all, actually.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have met Jeremy without them.
That's true. Holy crap. Yeah.
So double cheers, then.
Double?
Cheers.
Double cheers.
Cheers. My cider can.
So if we're doing icebreakers, I have maybe a little bit of a lighter-hearted icebreaker.
Let's hear it. Mine was pretty lighthearted. I think you're not.
Yeah. It was great.
Wait, what? I cut it all.
I'm just saying, I watched Halloween, the first one, and Mike Myers could have done it better in 18 different places. I'm just saying.
We don't have time to hear your murder plot.
He's a scrub.
I was working on the house last week, and I had some lumber that I wasn't using anymore, but it was too good to throw it out. You know what I mean? Like, it was good long lengths. So I went to the shed, and I got my little stepladder, and I'm putting this lumber in the rafters up there, and I just think to myself, I'm like, this is such a stereotypical, like, TV dad thing to do. So I want to know, like, what is your like stereotypical TV mom or dad, like, parent habit or something that you've done before?
Oh, interesting. I have two.
I mean, like, I'm talking about what? Like, you know, socks and sandals, or
I think I have two.
Okay.
One of them is I do the dad thing where every time I sit down or stand up now, it's
yes, excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. Lot of noises.
Even if you are not feeling any pain, it is required to grunt.
Yeah. I also sneeze very loud, which is important. It's an important part of dadding.
That's another dad move, yeah.
But weirdly, I think one of the most dad things I do is the way I talk to my cats when they're naughty. It's like, you know, Krabikar like knocks a glass on the counter. It's just like, Krabikar, you know better than that. This is not, that is not kosher in today's society. That's against the rules. You little jerk. Teach him what's what? I don't respect you and your misbehavior, Krabikar.
And how do the cats respond?
They just kind of, and then we gonna get in a SWAT fight. And they swat at me, and I swat at them, and then they swat at each other until they give up. So,
any stereotypical parent habits, Jeremy?
It's okay to swat your cats.
I've got two of them that I can think of off the top of my head.
Ooh.
One's more of a dad one, one's more of a mom one.
Mm-hmm. I love it. A nice picture.
Okay.
First one is, I always say, is that what the kids say?
Which I can guarantee is probably followed up by, no, that is not what the kids say, actually.
Nope. Second one, and Steven, you can attest to this. In my car, I always have mints.
Oh, yeah.
Gum.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Lotion.
Oh, my gosh.
And tissue.
Yeah, absolutely.
And waters. Whenever we go somewhere, we always have a water for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If we're taking like a long car ride, this is going to be a couple hours. I literally would take water bottles from my fridge, place one in each spot where I know Steven and David are sitting, so they got water right there.
You're a pure vacation dad. You're a vacation dad. Steven's a carpenter dad.
So where do we want to start as far as listener questions? Because you've got some. I've got some. We've got some.
And I'm just along for the ride.
You're along for the answers.
Mm-hmm. I'll do mine.
Okay, great.
Why not?
You also have the couple voice clips that we got, so.
I have those?
They're on Discord.
Aha!
Discord.
I was going to say, I'm not supposed to open that during recording, but it's been open this entire time, including the last episode, which is the next episode.
How did we not get a notification?
We got real lucky.
Wow.
Almost got flayed alive by Jeremy.
Our super active Discord server. You better join it.
You know what? Let's start with my darling wife.
Oh, let's start with some Gabby cues.
Okay. Let's see here. Her first one's a pretty good icebreaker, but I'm going to save that for the last because we already did some icebreakers. We'll get into that one again. She had the classic Gabby weird third question that we've gotten the last few times. So, she actually was supposed to be here tonight. I should preface this. She was supposed to be here tonight, and she wasn't. And because she wasn't, because she went to trivia night,
important.
Fully hold the
rights. Yeah, like every week, doesn't it?
Where's trivia night, David?
Oh, at Reckless Brewing Company in Bedlam, New Hampshire.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, continue.
Okay, check it out.
Hashtag
sponsored. Sorry. Trivia night, so exciting. I mean, she should have canceled for this or for that. She should have.
I don't blame her. In fact, I'm going to go to trivia right now.
Let's pack
up. Reckless Brewing Company.
So because she's not here, I fully hold the rights to read this in what I presume to be her voice.
Oh, here we go.
Voice.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, for you, if no one else has asked, how much of this arc was from the book? Was any of it homebrewed?
Dude, he's so consistent.
Thank you, Gabby. Actually, a
Thank
lot
you,
of
Gabby.
This was homebrewed. Maybe more in this arc than any other, but with some elements that were there. So a lot of the characters were homebrewed, but some of them did exist as well. All the various Kings of Coin and their children mostly were in the book. Margus, Xenia were actual characters involved in the book. You know what?
Is Dapierre on the book?
No. Okay. Sorry, the seventh king is not in the book. There's six kings of coin in the book.
Okay,
seventh
gotcha. King okay. I was going to say, I was like, you were like, the kings are in the book.
Sorry, yes, that's a good point.
What about
let me jump back and do the thing we normally do. I'm going to talk about what actually happens in the book for this adventure.
Perfect. Yeah, this is my favorite part of Unzipped.
The party arrives on Nawari. They are, just as you were, a short ways away from Zinda. You travel, head to the city itself, get involved with some parades, some antics, but very quickly, as you're moving to the city, you see... there's a body slumped in an alley near you. As you go in to check it out, you realize it is, I believe it's Jacopo Ain, one of the kings of coin, or one of the heirs to the kings of coin,
huh.
Dead. as you're looking at this, the Silent Burst kind of show up and they're like, oh, you know, what's going on? You killed this guy, I'll kill you. And they kind of try to kill you. And then there's a misunderstanding. You fight. The fight sort of resolves whether you kill them or not. And Samira Ara shows up because she is she oversees the Silent Burst. And she's basically just kind of like, you're clearly not involved in this, but you should work for me and figure out who is. And so she kind of hires you on the spot to help her and help the Silent Verse and figure out who's killing the heirs. So that quickly leads you over to, like, you know, investigating through the market, brings you over to the Thorn Apple, which is the inn you stayed at in the end, which is like an inn/slash pub. And it's actually where you find Margus and Xenia kind of hanging out. You talk to them, and as you're talking to them and hanging out, Diva Luma, one of the local divas, takes a stage, and just as in our little adventure, there's some stuff placed in her sort of her fog machine, whatever, the smoke that comes down. It's all laced with a pink powder, the bees' breath. She goes crazy, tries to attack people. You stop her. Things move on. You eventually find out that this woman named Kala Mabareen is behind all this. She's basically just kind of going around using, you know, pink powder to spike people's, you know, make them go crazy, bees' breath, whole thing. And Proud Edun was, just as it was with Diva Luma, her mother, who was killed by the Kings of Coin for the same reasons. Hmm. So it all kind of ends when you eventually reach the sort of apex of the initial sort of parade where actually Azra is the sort of figurehead of this parade. The guards are poisoned. They go to attack him. There's a big battle there. Kala is trying to fight you back by, like, using powder to get people. Eventually, the Biza appears. You fight Proud Edun on the Biza, and that's the arc. So it's not really as much. It's kind of a mystery, but there's not really a. There's no whodunit element. It's just It's this lady. It's Kala. She's going around doing stuff. You eventually see her and you get it. Yeah. Much, much shorter. It all takes place. Again, ours did too, within a day, but the events that transpire would happen a lot quicker. There's not nearly as much investigation and, you know, just kind of witness testimony, all that. Mm-hmm. So we added a lot to it.
Not as much chance to kill valuable NPCs.
That too.
we can't do without that.
We have a question about that, actually. I'm very excited to answer it. But yeah, that's kind of the arc. The palace being the main place this all takes place in, homebrewed. Just the entire mystery, Mello being killed, the sort of initial, like, oh, who killed Mello Ara? It was a stabbing death. Oh, wait, it turns out it was, you know, he was spiked by this Biza's breath. It all kind of came together when I realized that there was, in Biza's breath, a really cool tool to tell a murder mystery, because you can have a surface-level mystery of an actual just straight murder, but behind that is the insidious idea that someone created that murder via this rage-inducing poison, which kind of creates a sort of fold-out, multi-layered whodunit mystery. And I just fell in love with the idea. It was so much more work than I was ready for.
Well, I think bravo, well done. Like, it was lot of fun to play. It was really creative. It was, I think it was smart. I think I'm smart enough to say it was smart.
I think I was really happy with it. I think in the end, every major character in the arc had a piece of the puzzle, and they all, like, everyone got explored. Everyone did a thing. And that's what you want to see in a murder mystery. It's like, right. You know, you have to kind of hear from everybody in order to put all the pieces together. And I was very happy with it.
Yeah, it felt so well thought out.
It was, mm-hmm. It was fun. It was a challenge, but it was fun. I'm excited to do it because I'm a big Agatha Christie fan. And this just felt like a really good toe dip into a new world. So mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you did. It sounds like the arc was better for it.
Well, thank you, Sos. Right, I'm answering. That's the answer to that question. Let me ask you guys a question now.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, me?
Ooh.
For Steven. Since Blanche has known Jean and Ledoux for a long time, did she already suspect there was a thing there, or has she even really noticed? Oh, wait, there's more. She seems like the type to be so duty-focused she might miss subtle stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm of two minds. Either Blanche was so focused that she paid it no mind, or because of her strong focus, her you know, perception, her wisdom, whatever, that she maybe picked up on it before they did. So I'm really of two minds, and I don't know what the right answer is.
I think that you weren't surprised by it. I think that feels very Blanche and very right, that you just kind of were aware and you were like, eh, they'll figure it out.
To know before they knew. Yeah.
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 That feels right.
I love that. Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
For Jeremy. Silly, can we ever expect to have a song featuring Dresden? Lol.
I'm laughing at both the lol and the question.
She's gonna kill me when she hears this one.
Dresden Kellogg death metal?
Oh my god.
Now there will be.
Oh, buddy.
Now that David, make it so.
Once a mute, but now the boy can sing, baby.
I didn't say sing.
Interesting.
He can scream.
He can scream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell yeah. She said, and serious, and then never sent another text about Jeremy's question. So.
Gabby. Oh, so she had a silly one and a serious one, but the serious one never happened.
No. Just never sent it. So funny. All right, but there's one more question for all of us. What is the best sock length?
Sock length?
Sock length?
Sock length.
No, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It depends on when you're wearing the socks.
Well, like, it's loaded for a different reason for me, but you go first.
Okay. Like, in my apartment, I wear ankle length.
Hmm.
If I'm wearing shorts, I wear ankle length. If I'm wearing jeans, I wear the crew.
You have multi-length socks? You don't just have one uniform length of sock?
No. No.
Maybe you're the serial killer.
Yeah, see, I never have a use. I never have a use for a short sock.
I don't know. At home, I don't know. It just feels right.
All of my, like, whenever I'm wearing footwear, I'm almost always wearing boots, whether I'm hiking or I'm working or whatever. So socks are often too short, but are never too long. I like a long sock.
I like that. That's my answer too. I like that. But as I said, it's a little loaded because on me, you know, crew, whatever length, normal length sock, regular sock. I like that. On Gabby, cover your ears, listeners. You gotta go with a thigh height. Thigh length sock? It's just awesome. It's just awesome. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Am I wrong, America?
Danny thinks so.
The David foot fetish thing gets deeper.
Hey, stop it. It's not a thing. If that was a thing, I'd say no sock. Boom. Got him.
David,
I did get him.
You and I wear the same brand socks.
We do.
Yes, we do.
We wear a lot of the same brands.
What are the brands?
No, those are different brands now. You traitor.
I'm sorry.
You traitor.
I buy whatever's cheap at Walmart.
Yeah.
What brand did you have in mind?
I'm not going to plug a brand.
Why not? Maybe they'll sponsor us.
No, they're going to sponsor
us. I'll plug Darn Tough. I'm wearing my Darn Toughs, baby.
We're an and one.
Oh, shoot.
And one.
Yeah.
Man, you got to get some Darn Toughs.
I do have Darn Toughs, but I've had them for so long that now they have holes.
You can trade them in. They have a lifetime warranty.
Seriously?
That sounds like trouble.
The thing about Darn Toughs is their socks are so tough that they're like, oh, our socks will never break. And if they do, send them in and we'll send you another one. Like, that's their thing.
Like, no, yeah, but they broke over time.
They don't know just what I do to their socks.
Yeah.
What?
Darn Tough. Non-spawn. Yet. Hit me up, Darn Tough.
I have one more thing I got to talk about, actually, real quick.
Man, I love those socks.
As far as the arc goes and changes, awesome. Because I mentioned we were going to talk about this, and I never did, because it hasn't been zipped yet. The stap lock for the Biza. I mentioned I'd use a different stat block. I did not use the Wraith stat block.
That's right.
If anyone's aware of Candlekeep Mysteries, I used an advanced version of Shemshime from Shemshime's Bedtime Rhyme. It's basically a Shemshime, but there's legendary actions, more HP, small tweaks like that. But yeah.
Which we did play.
You did play that once as our build-up. But yeah, it was a fun little change. I thought made the Biza feel real right. So if you're running this at your home game, look into Candlekeep Mysteries. Look into Shemshime. Add some HP to that guy, and you have a creature who's all built around making people attack each other. It's cool.
I love how David's like best, DM hot takes. Like, here's my tip for doing this: add HP.
Oh, dude, I add so much HP to everything.
Do you want to achieve this in your game? Just add HP to your monsters.
Add HP, up the AC, add some damage. That's
legendary actions, go ahead.
I love adding damage.
Give them four.
Oh, and I love legendaries, yeah. Legendaries should be used all the time post level 3.
Don't forget regeneration.
Oh, yeah.
Regeneration.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't do that because it's hard to keep track of.
If you usually... add enough HP, you don't need to regenerate.
Okay.
Hot take, if you have a vampire, if you have an enemy like a vampire that regenerates, just add a ton of HP and don't worry about regenerating. It's yeah, it's perfect. so many things wrong with that that I won't get into here. Yeah, so I'm asking the questions, aren't I?
We have a lot of questions to get through.
Okay, let's do more. Let's do more.
And we're already almost 30 minutes into this.
Oh my god, that's Gabby. Okay, this is gonna be we're trying to be quick, but I do need to do
it. We're gonna give everybody the time that they require.
I do a quick shout out here because I have questions here from my Curse of Strahd group. That is actually the group that started my whole D&D escapade. Everything started. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah.
This is a long running game.
Yeah, the old McCorrison family. Best people I know. Super cool.
And the reason why I can't hike with you on Tuesdays.
Ooh.
It's true. Sorry, man. Ooh. Gotta play my Strahd. We're actually coming very close to the end of our first major campaign run. I'm really excited.
Wow-wee.
It's really, really cool. I have questions from Michelle, but I have to read them, have been requested in the voice of her character. I have not practiced this, so I'm going to try. Let me look quick and into it with her mantra, her usual greeting.
I hope it's the same voice.
Hi. My name is Waywalker, full core Stumblebutt. You can call me Stumblebutt. Everyone calls you Stumblebutt. I think it's a silly name. Don't you think it's a silly name? I like it. Stumblebutt. I tried.
Damn.
I tried.
Damn.
I stumbled, but I tried. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. If given the chance, would either of your characters travel to realms outside of the Radiant Citadel? And I have been in a couple realms. If I found myself in the Radiant Citadel, what are some of your favorite locations that you would recommend checking out? So I'm a realm hopper. I might go to Radiant Citadel. What would I like to see? And what would you like to see outside of it?
Ooh. Where is Blanche's favorite place in the world? I'm going to say... I'm going to imagine that there are mud baths on Umizu.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That Ozen would bring pupils to.
The silverfish mud baths are an Umizan tradition.
Silverfish mud baths. I mean, you can't live through this life without experiencing the silverfish mud baths. So you gotta go there. And if Blanche could travel to other realms, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Blanche is definitely an opportunity taker, you know, a risk taker, someone who would love to travel outside of the realm. I don't think she can fathom that.
Yeah, it's hard for you to think. Like, you, Steven, might know of, like, you know, you might, let's go to Icewind Dale. That's kind of, no one wants to go to Icewind Dale, but you know what I mean.
Sure, but, I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, a character who doesn't realize that there are realms outside of her own. And I think if presented with the option, certainly.
Hell yeah. Hey, Jules, what's up? What do you got? Sorry, wrong voice. Jules, what are you doing? What's your answer?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool.
So Jules, there's two places on his mind. One, Tythos. He will always go home to Tythos.
R.I.P.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's brutal. It's brutal.
And then kind of almost similarly to Blanche, but I think he dreams about what is outside of their known universe, their known realm.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And I think he dreams about finding that and just leaving and just going.
Hell yeah. That's all. Just, I mean, there's so, so much out there you don't know.
Imagine the two characters side by side sitting, you know, under the stars, and Blanche's, her thoughts are very terrestrial, very grounded. And Jules is like, what's out there?
Yeah.
That's where I want to go.
Jules passes with a pipe.
Yeah. And last question is for you, David. As a DM, what has been your favorite location so far to put them through and why? Thank you, Stumblebutt. Let me see. That's a good question, Stumblebutt. Waywalk at full course, Stumblebutt.
That is really good.
Honestly, weirdly enough, I think I'm going to... Sansa Tiana, I love the arc. It wasn't my favorite. It wasn't the location I'm most excited about. Sometimes I like when things are simple and I can focus on just like the beauty and the horror and the environment. And I think God's Breath to me is still my favorite world we've been to.
God's Breath's really cool.
I just loved the feel of God's Breath. The second very close second would be the Golden Bay, where we're kind of in now, because it's very homebrew mm-hmm. heavy. And I'm having a lot of fun just building it with you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we're still so new, I feel like, in the Golden Bay, you know, because the bulk of the Noiri arc, we were just like
took place in the mansion.
Chilling in Zinda. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the mansion.
Yeah.
So we're really kind of just now starting to explore that part of the world. Mm-hmm. And I really like it so far.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I didn't really plan on spending much time here, but I changed my mind. Like I do so often. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for the awesome questions. Mm-hmm. That was great. And I can't wait to see you guys on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Let's wrap this
thing
up.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, the two
Steven, you hiking Tuesday?
Nope. Or at least not with David.
No, you're not, because we're finishing strong. Oh, it's so exciting. But let's move on. I'm gonna have one more question that's not a voice clip that I'll just read out.
Okay.
And this is actually one I'm very interested in talking about, because this is from Daniel, Danger Rumpus in the Discord.
Ooh, hell yeah.
It's not one he put in the, he asked me this in the Discord, and I was like, I want to take this and put it here, because
stole it.
I have a long answer to this, kind of. I'll make it as quick as I can. But he asked, help me out with the reasoning again for the start of episode 92. Why was the call not to just roll 2d20 and then those characters got killed by specters? It's a good question. And I like it a lot. I like where, I know where it's coming from too, because little fact about Daniel, he's a monster. He's brutal. A recent story I heard from his campaign with Rochelle and the gang is they kind of got invested in the city, all the people there, kind of got enamored with it all, really had a bunch of quests there in the middle of going. And then he just like wiped the city out, huge attack on it. So everyone just gets cold and killed, and it's just brutal sort of ending.
Holy
like
shit.
Yeah, Daniel does wild shit.
Dude does not throw punches.
He does not. Yeah, he does not pull punches at all. His punches are
I bellyached a bunch.
You did, but that's actually not really it. See, this is a complicated answer because it's twofold, and neither of the reasons are really your complaints, directly.
My complaints were, hey, we're about to release this song, and I don't know if one of these characters is about to die, but if they are, all that work was like how are you gonna have John Franklin do that after either his dad or his wannabe boyfriend are dead?
Hey,
yeah,
I'm crazy.
So like it was a 10% chance, right? Statistics, because there's two of them. I think so.
Yeah.
And I was nervous, so I was like, give me a chance to save somebody.
Let me explain. I had two reasons for this. We talked about this quite a lot off the mic, talking about like, you know, well, you know, we should do this way. Why is there no death saves? Death saves should be used, and that makes sense, you know. But then it could say, right, yeah, the Spectre stat block ignores them, like we talked about this. But the main points are as follows. One, this is a superhero narrative. I really like when we have sessions that involve not fighting people, but saving people, because that feels like something that would happen in a comic book. And so turning it into a session where you guys had to rush to save people felt really exciting, and it felt like it hit what I want the show to be, and what I want you guys to, the song I want you to dance to, I guess you could say.
Dance puppets.
But more than that, there's this. When you were bellyaching, as you so called it, you made a point that really stuck with me. And that's that you looked at the scene, you said, yeah, it just feels like we couldn't have done anything. It just happened. You're just going to kill people like that, and they're just dead, and we couldn't have possibly done anything about it. And I argued against that. I was like, no, I told you they were hostile. I told you things were going to get deadly. You know, you chose to have that fight, and you said, yeah, but, you know, what else are we going to do? We're going to have the fight.
This
people
is America,
die.
And we don't negotiate with terrorists.
And I did split the party up and do all these things, so I could see how you might think that. I could see where you're coming from. And that posed a huge problem for me. Because if you didn't believe you had a chance to save these people, then you could not have failed. Again, this is a superhero narrative, and failing to save lives is such an integral part of that. And I wanted you to feel the failure of these deaths if they happened. So I cooked up a little scheme. I'll have an episode that's pretty skewed to the idea that these characters will die, but you'll at least have a chance to save them. So if you're not fast enough or clever enough and couldn't think of the thing, it was on you that they died.
You're sick.
Not on me.
For real.
Hey, this is how it goes. I underestimated you. I honestly did. I thought death save at the start, and no actual like stabilization, I thought, boom, you won't make it in time. They'll die. My notes reflected that. I had to change my notes mid-session because you saved those lives. And honestly, good shit.
Good shit, diabolical. You are diabolical. Yeah.
I hope you'll understand. For real. I hope you'll understand, Daniel. I think you will.
Giving us a chance, you meant it to give us a chance to fail.
I think you'll enjoy my motive, mm-hmm. and I think you'll understand that my execution was just flawed.
Well, to that I just say, fuck you, David.
Fuck you, David.
How dare you?
All right. But thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Yes.
Okay, so let me jump into voice clips. I'm going to start with Hunter because we promised we wouldn't forget him this time.
Yeah, I did forget him last time.
Last time. Yeah. Yes. Yes, let me get this playing right.
I just want to say, I haven't heard any of these voice clips yet, so I'm going to be...
Oh, you haven't?
I did purposefully.
I did listen to Hunter's. I don't remember the question because it was...
It was very nice. Check it out.
Oh.
Hello, Crack Pants Council. This is Hunter here, and I just got a couple questions I want to ask you. The first question, I don't remember if it's been talked about or not, so I apologize if I'm bringing it up again. Do you all plan to convert to the new 6th edition of D&D, or do you plan to stay doing 5th edition, or do you just plan to bring stuff over from the 6th edition to fit in with your 5e game once all that stuff is released? Just curious to know about that.
Okay, that was probably there. That's the first question.
What up, Hunter?
Yeah, thank you, Hunter. Yo. Thank you. That, honestly, phenomenal question. It's something we probably should have brought up on our own by now.
So, and I believe the answer to that is deferred to you, David.
I'm going to leave this up to you. Yeah.
I'm doing so much talking tonight. Damn it. Okay. No. My current plans are to stick with 5e as it stands. And I think when we get to our next campaign, whenever that starts, we'll jump to 6th then, is my what I'm kind of working with. There's just a lot of changes to be made in characters. And if I read through it, to be honest, I haven't read it yet. I need to look into all this 6e, you know, 1D&D, whatever it's called now.
We've heard a lot in the Discord anyway, some snippets and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. I might take, if there's rules I like, I might snatch them up and eat them.
Well, I think we kind of already have.
Yes, the exhaustion system is from.
Yeah, yep. I remember you talking about a couple things that you saw in 1D&D that you were like, yoink, I'm going to take that.
Yeah. There's a few for sure. But right now, I think I'm going to stick with 5e for the most part, and just we'll see where it goes from there. No solid plans until the new edition sort of develops and grows a little more with more modules and all.
So it's
that.
A pretty tight filter.
Yeah.
Could be some nuggets that squeeze through, but...
Yeah. A couple nugs. A
couple little nugs.
Squeezing out.
Jeez.
Next question.
My next question also is, do you all plan on doing any other TTRPG stories? Like, for example, I know Shadow Dark has become officially popular, and as much as David likes to be an asshole to everyone, it would be right up his alley with how brutal that game can be. But no offense, though, I love you guys all. I really enjoyed your show, and I keep loving and listening to every single episode.
Damn. Thank you so much, Hunter.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It's always awesome to interact with Hunter on the Discord server.
Of course.
We have a Discord, folks.
And our Discord has Hunter on it, so get on that thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hunter and our Discord, Hunter has 2 shows of his own, actually. So you check out, I believe it's Nails and Kneecaps and Rollin' Free. I believe they're all on Spotify, correct?
Shout out. Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He posts them into the Discord. We, you know, pick it up, listen to him. Super, super, super cool dude. So, yeah, check it out. The question? Oh, yeah. So, other RPGs. I actually know very little about Shadow Dark, and that idea of it being particularly mean piques my interest. I might have to look into it. I will say, when it comes to other game systems, I've been very curious about Blades in the Dark. I've played a bit of that. I think it'd be a fun alt show to run someday. You know, I don't know if we'll ever have the time or energy or any of that, but Blades would be a pretty cool pick. I'd also would love maybe Monster of the Week. Mm-hmm. It's kind of my jam. I love TV shows. I love to talk about TV shows. I love to run a TV show, you know? those are the 2 first ones that come to my mind. It's pretty big, fun possibilities.
Yeah. Kind of jump on what you said. You know, it's like the big hang up for us is time. whether it's time to play or time to edit, you know, both are huge investments that are difficult for us to make right now. On Mondays, every other Monday, we have Nerd Out Night, so the three of us are committed that night.
Yeah.
Tuesday, David has a D&D campaign, a weekly campaign. Wednesday, we have, David and I have a bi-weekly, sometimes tri-weekly campaign. Thursday, we're here every week. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is just too busy. Weekends are crazy. So it's not for a lack of wanting to play more, because trust me, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And Blades is another really interesting one that we'll talk about more later, because we have some Blades-involved questions.
What?
We do.
Ooh.
I guess that means I should get on to some other questions. All right. There you go. Let's hop over to Jeannie.
Yes.
Ooh.
Hey, guys. This is Wendy Luminary, and I have one question. As you play, what are the things that you want to improve as a player, a character, and a DM? Thanks.
Oh, that's a lovely question.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Finger on my nose, not going first.
I've been talking so, you know, I'll do it now. I'm talking so much. I'll get it over with, and I can just relax and sip my cider.
Okay.
Wait, I don't have an answer, though. Improve as a DM. A couple things, right? As a DM, and I guess this kind of goes into storytelling in general, I find the delivery of information to be so valuable, so important, and pacing that out to be like, it's so key. I really want to build on consistency of characterization. I want to build on my ability to pace out information that I give out, you know, make it so they have interesting mystery boxes to kind of go into an arc and explore and try to learn. I want to world build a little better. You know, obviously Fantasy Pants got off to a bit of a rocky start with a lot of information hitting you way too fast. And I think I pulled back a little bit on that and made it a little more seated as it went forward. But, you know, it's always, always developing, always getting better. Also, Scottish accents. Horrible at them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to learn Scottish accents.
That's a tough one.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Will oil be hooked?
What was that?
No, it's what the fuck was that?
Cool, blimey. It's not. That's fucking...
Who did it best?
That was Steven Scott.
Steven.
Okay, well, aside from the obvious answer of my Scottish accent
Donkey.
As well.
Sorry.
I wish I could improve on my quickness, I guess, my speed. You know, when we're playing this, I'm always trying to, you know, we are always trying to, yes, and. My and comes slow sometimes. You know, like, even in, I mean, last episode for us, but next episode for you guys, I literally straight up just asked. I was like, when presented with an improv moment, I was like, do you guys have any ideas? Because I have one idea and it's stupid.
It was a fine idea.
So yeah, I think that might be it for me. I mean, you know, always I would love knowledge of mechanics to improve. But that comes back to the magical time word. It's just like, how much time do you have to sit down and, you know, memorize your spell book or things like that. So I feel like we're doing as much as we can on that front. But I feel like we've all improved since the start of this. So I guess if we keep on keeping on, maybe one of these days will be good.
How dare you?
Maybe it will be a real podcast. All right, so I guess it's my turn. Mine kind of feeds in a little bit to kind of what you said too. I mean, first off, your and your yes and comes very slowly. A lot of times my and never comes. There are a lot of times where David will ask a question or say something and look at me, and there's just fucking dead space for like 10 fucking minutes.
Or just be like, no!
And I'm like, I can't fucking think right now. I don't know what to say. I don't know. And then we pause the recording and we take like 10 minutes to figure it out.
And Steven goes pee, because he always has to pee.
I play very differently than I think Steven and David do. Like, my play comes strictly from emotion, like, in an abstract sense. And a lot of times I won't think about the mechanics. I won't think about, hey, if I do this here, it could cause this, or it could do this. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's an idea. Why don't you do this? Because then we could do that. Oh, yeah. I don't think about all the intricacies of that. I just kind of just play. And then a lot of times it's happened where, you know, I've forgotten something. And halfway through the week, I'm like, shit, oh, my God, I should have done this because I have this. I just didn't think about it because I am in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that because that's Jules. Jules is emotional. Right. Jules
it's
is
so
in the moment.
Impulsive and, yeah.
And it's funny because, like, I think we talked about this once before where in the new party, the original party was, like, Jules mm-hmm. was kind of the dad and Zebulon was the crazy sort of out there, like, sure. the kid. And Jules is kind of holding him back. And in the new party, it's, like, Jules is the chaos agent. It's and Blanche is, like, hold on, hang on, order, please. And I love it. I love it. Hell yeah. Thank you, Jeannie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeannie.
Thank you.
First person to buy a Fantasy Pants t-shirt.
Oh, hey. Yes. Yes.
Jeannie. Yeah, we have a lot to thank Jeannie for. So
much. So mm-hmm. much.
So I think that's all that you have, right,
David? All I have.
I think now it's on to my notes here. So I'm going to start at the top of the list with our buddy Kevin, who DMs at Nerd Out Night.
Oh,
at Reckless
yes.
Brewing Company.
That's where the blade is coming from.
So I got a couple cues from Kevin. First one from Kevin, he says, might bore some to tears, but I would love to hear a bit about your audio and periodic video recording setup.
Ooh.
As far as video recording, I will say real fast that we just use our cell phones, mostly like a Google Pixel phone. We're still trying to up our game in that regard.
We've played around.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
The rest I will turn over to our lovely audio.
The illustrious Mr. Well, yeah. I could just tell you there's microphones in front of me. I don't know anything about
them. There's a microphone, there's cords. It's going into a box.
That's it.
Actually, do you want to say a couple things about that box? Because
I'll get to the box.
This box is one of the reasons why we started selling t-shirts. Because we were like, hey, we need a new box. This box is a little expensive.
All right.
So if you want to help us pay for a box.
Hey, boxes ain't cheap.
I'll get to the box.
Get to the box. What's in the box? What's in the box?
So we use Rode Pod mics for our mics. We have Fethead preamps going into our brand new box because our former box bricked on me.
Damn.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, our mixer just completely bricked on me. And I'm like, fuck, we need a new mixer.
This week.
So we bought a new mixer. And it's expensive.
But it's working.
It's really good, yeah. So previously we used the Rodecaster Pro, but now we are using the Tascam Mixcast 4. I generally kind of look for mixers that are kind of all-in-one. So we record everything multi-track to an SD card, and then I transfer those into my DAW so I can edit it. It's got 8 different channels, which is great. We can use cell phones for mic inputs. And a whole bunch of sound pads. And this one actually has 8 different banks of sound pads, which is great. So you might be hearing more fun sound effects in the future.
Like that?
That was David. Well, let me count.
Oh, no,
yours,
now it's a sound. Oh. Now it's a soundboard off.
You,
what
David.
Oh, God.
What the f***? Okay.
Okay.
We had fun.
So I've got 2 more from Kevin. And while Kevin does run Blades in the Dark at NerdOn, like I said, that is not actually where the Blades in the Dark question came from.
Really?
Yeah. So Kevin's second question, for each of you three, what is your favorite historical time period and why?
That is so Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he's a big history buff. That's
funny.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh.
Holy shit.
That's really tough.
All right, I sort of have an answer while you guys think about your answer. I have inherited my preference, I guess, for a historical time period because my wife, Rachel, is a big history buff.
Yes.
She is, there's a word for it. I don't know exactly what it's called when you are Anglophile, maybe? When you really are into the English monarchy. So she knows, like, the lines of succession and the whole thing. When we went on our honeymoon to London, we were in the Tower of London, Westminster Abbey, and more than once, She openly wept in front of like graves or monuments for people like Jean Grey, the 7-day queen or something like that. She was just this like 16-year-old kid who got caught up in the transfer of power and somebody took over and they had to kill her because she had a better claim and yada, yada, yada. So I guess because I sort of tangentially know a little bit about that, I'm going to call that my fave because I live with it.
It's a good fave. It's a good fave.
Whatever period you call that, I don't know. Victorian?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Your body language just had so much sass to that.
I know so little of history that it's going to be like, it's going to come down more to like settings that I just genuinely really like, explored in fantasy that are based on real life kind of like, you know, history. Of course, medieval is fun, classic, really boring answer, but, you know, it gave us swords and sorcery in a lot of ways, and I love that. Sengoku era Japan, super cool. I mean, like, so much cool shit came out of that era. Any shows based on it, I'm like, this is awesome. Oh, that's really tough.
That sounds like a good answer.
Just like sort of the...
Oh, I love how you're like, oh, I don't have anything specific, but this...
Yeah, I think that's it. That's what I got. That's what I got. I like it all to a degree. Everything.
Yeah, I got nothing for this one.
Pass.
I'll go see dinosaurs.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Dinosaurs.
It's a good one.
Right. Yep.
I don't know enough about dinosaurs to dive into which dinosaur period, but any same, dinosaur fans out there, you let us know.
Hence why I just said dinosaurs.
What's your favorite dinosaur period?
Put it in the comments.
Tell us on the Discord.
I love how that was so far, honestly, maybe the hardest question of the history of Unzipped.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, Kevin.
Thank you.
History.
History.
Oh.
We've got one more from Kevin. What is the PC or NPC who has been the most fun to portray, and what is the best natural 20 role in your RPG career? Who's going first?
My favorite NPC, I think, is not in Fantasy Pants. It is the big bad of our Ghost of Saltmarsh into Tomb of Annihilation into who knows what campaign.
Yeah, you use this guy for everything.
Syrik. I love the way I'm playing Syrik. I'm playing like the big lich. He's Acerak and Syrik both, slap combined, draconic mistranslation of the name. Never mind all that. But basically, he's a sexy lich. Mm-hmm. He's a lich who's just having a good time. And it's a lot
You were about to break into the voice.
I almost did, and I was like, I'm not going to do it. But I love the voice. I'm not ready for it right now, but I love the voice. I love the character. I love having a villain that's just evil because he's evil, pure evil, and just really charismatic and sexy while he's doing his thing. You can't get under this guy's skin. He doesn't have any. He's a lich.
He's a lich.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Biggest nat 20. That is tough. Honestly, probably Zebulon's nat 20.
Nat 20.
It was
man.
It was a good nat 20.
That was my answer.
That nat 20 might have saved you all.
Yeah, it was from a TPK, clutch. I think.
The other one that I like was, I believe there was in the same campaign with Acerak, there was a fight against a big shark, two-headed shark. We won't get into the details. But one character was underwater and had to make an attack, and it was like disadvantage. They rolled a 20, and I was like, yeah, sorry, man, it's disadvantage. They rolled a second 20. And
And
it actually ended up changing the whole fight and made the shark open to everybody else's attacks and turned the fight into an absolute joke. Yes. It was
because Monk.
It was infuriating, but in the best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Monk.
Well, you stole my best natural 20 answer.
I'm sorry.
That's mine. Definitely from the Mesmer fight. Because, yeah, I mean, imagine what would have happened if Zebulon didn't stand back up and continue fighting. Although he did end up dying later, which brings me to my next point. Man, I miss playing Zebulon so much. I wish I could play Zebulon again. That's hands down. I mean, you know, I've played a lot of great characters. Zebulon, hands down, my favorite.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's my answer.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Jeremy, pick us up. Pick us up. Carry us away.
Yeah, my favorite is, my D&D career is very, very short. It's only with you guys in the last few years. So it's definitely Jules. I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know, he's really the first time where I kind of came out of my box and was finally able to play somebody that wasn't as just brooding and quiet and silent. Although, original Miskin, a freaking badass.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He was a freaking badass. Mm-hmm. So he was fun to play, but Jules is my favorite. David, you would probably remember my natural 20s more than I remember my natural 20s. So if you can think of one, that's it.
I believe there was a moment in Icewind Dale where I had this like reoccurring villain that was this evil fairy that was standing on a castle rampart, kind of like doing some evil stuff and bringing some undead around you. Yeah. And you transferred where you had your Echo Knight appear behind her, and you nat 20'd, exploded her in one go into a bunch of shimmering fairy goo, and it was the saddest I've ever been. I think that happened.
Hell yeah. That one.
It was a good one.
That's the one. That's it was a good one. Okay. I believe we have two more questions. I'm going to read the question from Druidic Habit first. Then I'm going to read the question from Sarah, the magical quill, who actually is Jeannie's sister.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Huh.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a family dynamic here. So Druidic Habit is actually where the Blades in the Dark question came from.
Oh.
He asked, when are y'all going to play Blades in the Dark?
That's right. He was saying
in
the Discord.
I want to play Blades in the Dark so bad. I want to play Blades in the Dark with Kevin running it at Nerd Out Night. I want to sit at his table so bad. I'm just busy with board games and stuff.
As far as an official capacity, I don't know. Maybe, and not say anything, maybe someday we'll stream some stuff. And that would be one of my first go-to choices. I think because now I'm playing it with Kevin, I'm learning it. I'm very slow to learn new systems because I don't like to read. But, like, if I play it enough, I don't need to read. I can just do it. And, I mean, I really like what I've experienced so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think if we ever found the time and inclination to play another game, do another soup, another seat of our pants, I would vote for Blades.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All we need is one Saturday, gentlemen.
Hey, don't tempt me.
I think I'm the only one of us three that always has his Saturday free.
It's true.
Oh, Saturdays are...
I work on Saturdays, and I'm less busy than Steven on Saturdays.
Saturdays almost don't exist.
It's true.
All right. Finally, for Sarah, if you guys were stuck on an island and all you had to eat was pickled rattlesnakes, cotton candy sardines, or chocolate-covered tarantulas, which would you choose to eat?
Oh, well, hang on. What is a...
I know.
What is a cotton candy sardine?
You know sardines, right?
Yeah.
You know cotton candy?
How do you...
Put those two together. I think just...
Does it matter that much?
Think about... Just think of it as like mixing the flavors.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I guess... Yeah. So are you asking... Is the question... Is it sardine-flavored cotton candy? Or is it a sardine wrapped in cotton candy... Then I pose the question to you, does it make a difference?
All those make me so thirsty. I hope there's a fresh water stream on this island.
Right, see, island, that's where you, yeah.
Mm. So I'm tempted to say the chocolate-covered tarantulas because everyone I eat is one less tarantula in this world.
That surprises me so much.
Right. I'd be scared to eat them because they might come alive in my gut, but I'm fighting the good fight.
I just can't believe, I cannot believe that was your answer.
I hate them. I want to eat them.
Yeah, but you couldn't touch it. Let's be real. If it was dead in front of you covered in chocolate, David, you wouldn't be able to pick it up.
And not just the men, but the women tarantulas and the children tarantulas.
You're referencing something.
Star Wars.
I didn't even think about an answer. I read this question when Sarah asked it. I didn't even think about it because all I could focus on was David's... disgust of the spiders. And I, geez, I mean, I hate pickles. Chocolate's cool, I guess. I don't know, maybe the cotton candy sardines, because I'm going to imagine that they are sardines covered in cotton candy, and you can pull the cotton candy off and you can get, sweet cotton candy, and then you can get savory sardine.
That's how these work. You get to imagine what you want to be the answer and then answer that.
How else do you...
What if the chocolate tarantulas were actually pizza?
Jeremy, what are you eating on this desert island?
Oh, what was the first one? The pickled whatever?
Pickled rattlesnakes.
Yes, that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like
that. Because I love pickles. And all the vinegar and stuff would basically make it just taste like pickles.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pickles.
Yeah,
pickles. There you have it. Well, David, is there any other campaign stuff you want to talk about as we wrap this up?
We have one more thing I think we should talk about, because we talked about talking about it earlier on, and that is the song, guys.
I was going to bring that up, you asshole. Yeah. Sorry, I was going to bring that up, you asshole.
Jeremy, bring it up.
God damn.
Jeremy, bring it up.
I thought you guys totally forgot about it. Then I was going to say, wait a second, guys.
Play it
Hold
right
on.
Now.
We got one more thing to talk about.
You're talking about opening a cider.
We got one more thing to talk about.
Oh, he's opening. All right, we got time.
Oh.
He just Ooh. Cracked a cider, a Ooh. Fresh cider. We're like in it.
Uh-huh. All right, so I just want to say mad props to David.
To me?
That was so incredible so good. And
guys,
impressive.
It was Dude, all you. Wait, I just, didn't do anything.
Okay. Sitting recording vocals that day, you do it. You say, let's go again. Do it. We just kept doing it, And every single time, it just kept getting better and better and better. And we said, one more time. What was that?
Magic.
A burp. I'd hide it in my hand.
He caught it in his hand.
I caught it.
Caught the burp.
Here, like, actually, here, Steven.
You caught the burp.
No, get that away from my drink.
You caught the burp like you caught the magic that day.
Thank you. Hey, there you go.
Secondly, fucking props to Steven. All that flow, all those rhymes came from this guy.
Boing, 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 boing. Like that one.
Anyways, yeah, that was all Steven's doing.
It was a ton of fun.
It was incredible. Like, honestly, like, Jeremy, you, the beat, the rhythm, the chorus, mm-hmm. everything, and you just your direction, like, it would not be possible. You know, we're just like goofs off the street. Steven has some fucking serious props and writing, obviously, but like Jeremy's direction is incredible. And honestly, like when I was in the booth, because I went after Steven, you started off, you went in hot, nailed everything perfectly because you're just the biggest asshole. Jeremy did one take and was like, that wasn't very good. Me and Steven were blown away. Our hair was like an explosion
yeah,
hit us
real.
Up and yeah, just ridiculous. And then I went in that booth after following these jokers up and I was like, there's no way. There's no way I could do this. These guys killed it. But then we had all, I basically listened the entire song up to my point and then cut in right there. And hearing what you guys had put forth, you were building John up and up prepping up, and it was me. You were pumping me up, and I felt that, and I was like, "You're
Aww.
Right. I can do this." Well, and I dived in like,
Well, exactly. Like John's part had to be the coolest part.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
You know, I could have. I don't know. I'm not gonna say that I could have, but I didn't want to linger on the Blanche parts and. It kind of had an older feel, an older hip-hop feel. You know, it was a little bit mm-hmm. slower, a little bit playing with the syllables and whatnot. And then when it came to Jean, I was like, let's make this cool and fast and hard.
Fuck
because
yeah.
this song is about Jean.
Holy
so
shit.
I kind of yep. gave you the hardest part. because it needed to be the coolest part.
It was amazing. I mean, like... It's so funny how this character has become something that, like, we all just, you know, we enjoy the character and we make songs with this character. I said before, but it's a DM's worst nightmare to be over there like, this NPC is liked by all of us enough that we're going to make music about how cool he is, you know? Part of me hates that so much, but, like, we all dived into this together. It was our decision, and, I mean, it worked so well. I mean, you guys are Jean Franklin, which is I am, and that's what makes the character so fun to play. And having this arc, this personal arc for him, which we're going to continue on in the next few episodes and see a lot of potential growth there, and maybe say goodbye? Hmm?
What's going to happen to Jean?
Got one more thing to say on that, though. The genesis of that song was... So, generally Ooh. After every arc, I start thinking about, okay, what's the next song? What's the next arc? Where might something fit? And how and why? And I started to think about it, and Steven goes, Jeremy... You should do a hip-hop song. I'm like, okay. A few days later, after I thought about it a little bit, I said, it's got to be Blanche, though.
Mm. Blanche was a perfect pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a hippity-hoppity fan.
Yeah.
So Jeremy and I listened to a lot of Greaves while we were thinking about this song.
Mm-hmm.
I used Watsky a lot, George Watsky, as some inspiration. Gangstar, some of the older stuff.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, good place to go if you're curious about our influences. I make it sound way too official.
Oh, man. Is that it, gentlemen?
I'm like 99% sure those are all of the cues that we had today.
We're probably going to miss something. But that's okay.
We did before.
We always do.
Hunter. But we got him this time, and we got him on voice.
Hey.
So, in addition to all this really cool stuff we've been talking about, there's a lot of cool stuff still in the works. We mentioned earlier, we've got t-shirts for sale. Those are going to help us pay for our new box, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
From henceforth, it is called The Box.
The Box.
The Box. The Box.
Jeremy has been working really hard on setting up our... I don't want to say just Spotify, because it's Spotify and Apple Music and whatever other music services are out there. But the songs that we have just been talking about are now live as singles. I'm going to say wherever you get music. I know it's a lot of places. I don't know all the places specifically.
Yeah, I don't either.
But
all the big ones.
All the big ones. And probably the most exciting news is... we've got a real legit website in the works.
Oh, man. Ooh.
You want to drop the URL?
Fantasypants.co.
.co. You want to know why it's .co?
Why?
Because somebody is sitting on fantasypants.com and they want like $2,800 for it, and that's not happening.
I thought you were going to do a cool bit off of the letter CO.
No. I'm just... I'm telling the truth. They want a lot of money for that, and we emailed them. We were like, hey, we're called Fantasy Pants, and we're just a hobby podcast, and we'll pay you like a couple $100. And they were like, nah, we want thousands. There's a comma in the price they want, so.
Yeah, no.
.co.
Because we're cool ogres. Donkey!
And we'll call it
there. Yeah, which is the call it there button.
Guys, we're about to hit our second year anniversary of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we're about to hit episode 100 a couple episodes here.
And what are we doing to celebrate the anniversary?
We
did literally the exact...
Yeah, I just like the start of the show. Then we launched the show. We are going to Glass Cannon live in Boston. We're big fans of the Glass Cannon podcast. Check them out too if you're not already.
More inspiration.
Seriously, we're going to that. We might be taking the week off from releasing an episode. We'll get back to you that in the coming episodes and a little intro credit.
We did that last year around our first anniversary. Yeah. You know, we
give
said,
Jeremy
hey,
his birthday
let's
off.
Give might, Jeremy might a break. A,
might be an annual thing.
Yeah, Steven's going to be on vacation, so we're talking about, are we going to just record two episodes in a row for like a couple of weeks, or are we going to take a week off? So consider this advance notice if we do take a week off.
Yeah, and it's Wolfman's birthday, so let the man have his birthday in peace, Pants
yeah,
people.
Yeah, he's 22 this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big ol' tutu.
That is exactly the age I am turning this year.
But yes, we got this coming up. So much behind us, too. This last year has been incredible. I believe we released the zine this last year. Mm-hmm. We've gone to... Mountain Mania, did a live show. We went to the Vermont Renaissance Fair. We released a shirt. We're doing Nerd Out Nights. One year and all this, and I am so excited to see what happens next year.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so, we got some cool stuff in the works, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez.
So, I mean, tomorrow, we're taking our next steps on this Fantasy Pants journey. But for tonight, we'll call it there.
And buy a t-shirt.
We'll call it there.
We'll call it there.